Well, welcome to Backbone Radio, back in the saddle. As I like to say, I did take Easter off, for which I do apologize. Or was it Easter last week? Was it Easter, or was it something about Trans Visibility Day? I took off Trans Visibility Day is what I did, for obvious reasons. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, you got to love the Biden administration, but boy, it's been a little windy. And you know what I'm joking, right? I mean, you know what I'm joking. I don't have to explain that I'm joking. That's backbone country, but has it been windy enough for everybody here lately? I've been on the side of a few soccer fields, and my hair is just all woofed up, standing straight up. There I am this morning. On the side of a soccer field, looking over at all the soccer moms and dads, and our hair is like standing straight up, all sideways, woofed up, twirled around, standing there in the wind. That was a good one. That was a good wind storm, was it not? Yesterday, a couple of soccer games, same deal. And last night, could you hear your house creaking and groaning and the trees bending and swaying? Were you wondering if something might fall over on top of your house, or if some projectile might like come in right through the siding on your domicile and present itself to you in the middle of the night? That was, I don't know, I actually haven't read any news on what the wind added up to or amounted to. I know that they were turning off power in advance out there in Boulder area, and don't know how that worked out. Maybe, you know, they got to be skittish about the fires out there. Was that the right call? I don't know. It seems like with the forecast of 100 plus mile an hour gusts, I think probably I'd say as a Chicago veteran, meaning having done my time in Chicago, you get pretty used to wind. I'd say we were in the 20s, mid 20s, up over the 30s pretty regularly with gusts of over 40. And maybe a few other gusts that were hitting harder than that. And it's just, you know, I don't mind the wind. It's just that it, you know, it messes up your hair. Isn't that a big deal? You know, your hair is like all out of place. What do you think, John, back there? You can't have that, right? I mean, that can, you know, you got to think about how you present yourself, right? And then if you're all woofed up, you know, well. Were you saying something?
People are just going to look at you weird, but you're looking at them weird, too, because everybody's all woofed
up. We're all in this together. We certainly are. And, yes, I did my trail running, a couple of trail runs out there in the wind. So I like it. I'm just, all joking aside, I like extreme weather. Just one of my things. At any rate, enough preamble. Tell you, these long preambles, I apologize. But it was windy. At any rate, we've got a lot of fun, exciting things to cover all the way through. Text messages already flowing in. Being castigated a little bit for not being in here last week. I did take some heat for that. Talking to some folks from Backbone Country over the week. They said, I turned on the radio and it was last week's show. What the heck, man? And I just apologize. But can you feel the vibe change? There's a vibe change going on out there. I can feel it. That, you know, the left has been lying for so many years, and all the hoaxes and their fake weird narratives and all this Russia stuff and the rest of it. And I think people are just kind of getting tired of it. The whole leftist vibe, the downer, the depressing mood of the left and the bad economy and Biden screwing everything up. I just kind of think, if you listen, if you can groove the vibes and sense what's going on out there, you sense that things are changing, that there is a vibe change. And those, you know, you can't explain exactly why they happen or how they happen, but you can just kind of perceive that they happen. And an individual named Santiago Pliego wrote about this, and Tucker Carlson interviewed this individual yesterday, I believe. And it's something I've been talking about, and I thought, well, I'm going to talk about that again, the vibe change in the right direction. All of a sudden, Biden is just flat out uncool. Even The Rock won't endorse Joe Biden because, you're a celeb, and you're looking around, and you're thinking, man, Biden's too uncool for me to endorse him, because if I endorse Biden, then I look uncool. And celebs, if there's one thing that they want to be, that is cool, because they're the experts and the aces in that, right? Of course, they're mostly manufactured by larger entities. And if they say the right stuff and do the right stuff and endorse the right people, then they are allowed to be celebrities. You know how that works. Anyway, we'll explore this palpable vibe change as the show goes on. And we'll also explore Trump's record-breaking fundraiser last night. Yes! $50.5 million comes into the Trump campaign. Whoa, I mean, we are ready for MAGA. We are ready for November 5th. Trump was saying November 5th is going to be Christian Visibility Day. Yeah, that's what Trump said about November 5th. $50.5 million about doubles, more than doubles, what Joe Biden hauled in last week, standing there at Radio City Music Hall with Bill Clinton. Yeah, good old Bill Clinton. He's still out there existing. And Barack Obama, still out there existing. Some people call him the puppet master, the puppeteer. But all three of them, they get together and they could only raise $25 million. And Trump, all by himself with the American people, pulls in $50.5 million last night. Who dug that? I mean, who likes that? I mean, rockin' with dockin', ladies and gentlemen, to use an expression that you once heard in the 80s. Do you know dockin', John? You ever heard of dockin'?
Oh, heck yeah, man. They played at the Monsters of Rock.
Monsters of Rock. That's what I'm talking about. We're rockin' with dockin' at $50.5 million. And I don't know if anybody had ever heard of dockin', but John has heard of dockin'. Monsters of Rock. It's an old 80s phrase for you folks that were alive and above ground in the 80s. And by the way, when Trump did that fundraiser, or when Biden, Clinton, Obama were doing that fundraiser, hauling in their $25 million, and boy, they were crowing about it all week long. We got broke the record for the most fundraising in one night. See, Joe Biden, he's still got it. He's the man. They got $25 million. They were crowing about it all week. Meanwhile, during that fundraiser, Donald Trump was off at the funeral for Officer Diller, a New York Police Department member slain by an illegal alien. Mm-hmm. That Trump was so warmly welcomed by the family of Officer Diller was really quite a thing. And the Diller family said, "Nay, Governor Hochul of New York, you don't even bother coming in here. We won't let you in." The family of Officer Diller quite unhappy that the immigration law is not being enforced, and that the Democrats like Hochul, like Biden, are letting every squatter, cannibal, immigrant, illegal, criminal possible into this country right now. The family of Officer Diller having none of that. But it sure made those folks look small, look puny. And then Trump shows up the next week and doubles their take. I like that vibe. I like that vibe. We'll be covering that. I've got a few things about the gag order philosophy of government you're seeing from Joe Biden and the courts are trying to shut up Donald Trump. He can't talk about Judge Merchan. They're going after him with the lawfare. They've got the gag order on him. And Trump says, "Hey, I'm going to violate that gag order, and they can throw me in jail, and I'll be the next Nelson Mandela." The gag order thing. Isn't that right? Gag orders and censorship. That's how the tyrants on top love to run their deal. Let's do a thing about the AP whining about anonymous sources. Yeah, we'll talk about that just a little bit. And it looks like we've got little Tom Petty taking us to the wall here. And hey, it's Matt Dunnis, Backbone Radio, 303-696-1971. Check in if you got a moment. Coming in with a little heartbreaker action from Led Zeppelin here. Somehow the lines have already done filled up on us. Very honored by that. You know, you just show up and the lines are full and the texts are flowing right in. We're breaking in a new producer here, Mr. John Mann, sitting there behind the glass. Has the hat on tight, so he was keeping his hair protected from the extreme wind in Colorado. Man, get ready for looking for branches laying all over the place on the ground, kind of like that snowstorm 2 weeks ago. At any rate, I was talking about how some people think Obama is the one holding the puppet strings for Joe Biden as he sits in his basement sipping tapioca pudding. But I think we have found the actual real puppeteer. Maybe it's not actually Barack Obama pulling the strings. Maybe it's actually, well, you see, if you look at the results, if you look at how badly Joe Biden is doing and how he's screwing everything up in terms of domestic and foreign and economic and everything kind of policy, and he's in your face trying to transform the meaning of Easter into something altogether otherwise, that it looks like, you know, maybe Hunter Biden. It's Hunter. Hunter is the guy pulling the strings back there. You know, I mean, they found that bag of white powder coke in the White House. Probably Hunter doing those long hours running the show, pulling the strings for his dad. What do you think, folks? Do you think it's actually Hunter Biden? That's when it starts to make sense, yeah? You're like, hey, yeah, okay, we got it. It's Hunter doing the deal. And of course, I should say, I'm being tongue-in-cheek here because sometimes I, in my own head, I think I'm obviously being satirical and joking around, but the occasional individual thinks, oh, really? That guy thinks Hunter's? Anyway, but you know what I mean. It would make sense if it was Hunter, wouldn't it? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the phone action. And up first is Brad hanging out in Lakewood. Brad, welcome aboard, and how are you?
Well, what's going on in Nebraska is not very well because there the Republicans hold the majority, a filibuster-proof majority. They're trying to pass LB 764, which would return Nebraska to winner-take-all, because right now they assign their electoral votes different, and somehow Biden wouldn't win one under the current setup. So Charlie Kirk's making a big deal out of this, but there's three Republicans that are basically holding it up, Tom Brewer, John Arch, and Tom Brandt, because they keep making excuses. It's too late in the system. We can't, in the session, it's too late to bring up the bill, which this is an excuse. They brought the sponsor of the bill on. His comment was, well, wait till next year when we have more Republicans. Charlie Kirk wouldn't have any of that. So the Republicans, despite having a filibuster majority, just don't have the will to do anything to benefit Trump. Now, on Tuesday, there's a big rally in Lincoln, Nebraska, and Charlie Kirk's going to be there, and maybe Donald Trump Jr. from what Kirk is saying. But what's with the Republicans? Are they? Because Kirk is saying that Trump could win Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona and still lose 270 to 268. So this one electoral vote that will probably go to Biden will make all the difference in the world, but yet the Republicans still don't want to fight.
Exactly. The Republicans, as we have noticed, are rhinos, which means they're essentially Democrats, which means they're helping the Uniparty out here. And that Don Bacon guy in Nebraska, he's the ultimate rhino. He needs to be defeated electorally, that guy in his primary. But you see, the Republican Party, they're not in there fighting for it. And Brad, you captured that exactly, that if we are headed for a really close race in the Electoral College, you can see how the Republicans are in Nebraska rolling over, playing dead, or actively facilitating the Democrat Uniparty maneuver to allow the transfer of that. Is it a single delegate or is it two of them over to Biden from Nebraska? And we have a lot of listeners up in Nebraska. Hey, spread the word. You got to get on the stick on this, Republicans. You cannot let this happen up there, okay? And you got to get rid of that Bacon guy. He is seriously, severely bad news in Nebraska. But any more take on that, Brad?
It'd only be one electoral vote, and there's only 4 days left in the session. So what people need to do is call Governor Fillon, and I got the number here. It's 402-471-2244 and ask for a special session, but Fillon's not answering his telephone, and he can't leave a message. So the best thing to do is leave an email, and I'm thinking of going to the rally on Tuesday, but that's a prime example of where the Republicans are blowing it. Another way the Republicans are blowing it is Biden's going to cut the subsidies to Medicare Advantage, or he's finalized a plan. Now, Roger Marshall was talking about this well over a year or so ago. Rick Scott's finally climbed on board, but Roger Marshall was trying to warn people this well over a year ago. So we got 49 Republican senators. This is a big, great issue to run on. Biden's trying to cut Medicare Advantage, but out of 49 Republican senators, Marshall was the only one saying anything about this well over a year or so ago. Where were the other Republicans? I mean, wouldn't this be a great issue to run on? Biden trying to cut Medicare Advantage, but yet where are the Republicans? They can't message, and either they don't care, or they're part of the problem, or it's a uniparty. But why aren't the Republicans making a major issue out of Biden trying to cut Medicare Advantage?
Well, they really should be. They should be banging the gong on that one. But you know, the things that we've just been discovering since the escalator, Brad, as in 2015. Is that most Republicans are rhinos, and that if you're a rhino, you're actually a Democrat, and that what that all means is you're a rhino Democrat uniparty, which means the whole point of your existence is to sabotage Donald Trump, who is actually in touch and representing the Republican voting base, okay? Well, and it's just a cry and shame, but we needed to see this. I mean, we've been living as inmates in a gulag as Republican voters all this time. And now we are very clear about it. And Ken Buck is case in point, right? I mean, Ken Buck, you know, had to show his true colors, did he not? And he's Agreed. Out the door.
And another thing is, with this Mike Gallagher resigning April 19th, now Marjorie Taylor Greene was saying if they vote to expel Mike Gallagher before April 9th, they can hold a special election, so that district will have some representation, but I highly doubt Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is going to bring up a motion to expel Mike Gallagher. He's referring to Mike Gallagher as a fine man. He resigns early for the whole purpose of that district having no representation. And in the eyes of Mike Johnson, that makes Mike Gallagher a good man. I hate to say it, but as bad as McCarthy was, Mike Johnson's far, far, far worse.
Yeah, Johnson is far worse, and he's Scott Weiland singing about waiting on a Sunday afternoon. Was that the word waiting in that STP tune? One of our favorites to play on a Sunday afternoon, 4:35 p.m. Denver Metro on your News Talk Leader 710 KNUS. And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be off to the phone lines here. But did you see that there was a little earthquake in New Jersey? Happened a couple of days ago, and it wasn't a very big one. Those of us who have also spent a few years living in California, they know how to do earthquakes there. I've been in a few of those. But the media, of course, went wild over that earthquake. But New York Post has an article that says the epicenter of the earthquake was right there around Trump's Bedminster. Was it Bedminster or one of his other golf country clubs? And I was like, oh yeah, man, we're talking foreshadowing, people. I was hoping Trump wouldn't reveal his special powers just yet. I thought he'd wait until like October, I don't know, September, before he starts revealing his powers. But I don't know, there was that earthquake, and some are calling it foreshadowing in a MAGA kind of way. But you know, they survived out there, and it wasn't a big one. So I think it rattled your Starbucks lattes a little bit, sitting in front of your barista there. But that's about as much as that was. Let's start getting to the phone action. Jack, Wyoming Jack, Cowboy Jack in Evergreen. Welcome, sir.
You got it. I'm in Evergreen. You were speculating earlier about the cocaine that was found at the White House. And assuming that it was, what's Biden the Younger's name? Hunter.
Hunter, that dude,
Hunter's,
yeah.
Okay. I got another, since you're speculating, let me speculate.
Feel free to speculate.
I I would believe it's just as probable it belongs to Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to her speak, it sounds to me like that's drug-induced speech. So that would be my guess.
Does make you wonder a bit, you know, and that cackling laugh Kamala Harris has, and they apparently haven't shuffled her off the ticket yet, and neither Biden yet. I do think people are kind of resigning themselves, if you're a Democrat, that, we're stuck with Biden, we're stuck with Kamala. But you remember that, you know, cocaine in the White House, for crying out loud. If that was Trump's White House, you'd never have heard the end of it, but Biden's White House, and it's like, oh, that's nothing. We couldn't ever get to the bottom of that one.
They would have
no idea.
They'd have a 30-man inspection as to whether it was Trump's, but with it being the Biden family, there's nobody looking at it.
Exactly. They made that one go away.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, man.
That was it tonight, Jack. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm
all right.
Around the house here. I'm trying to fix a million things here before I go back up.
Okay, well, all right. Get them fixed. And keep excited, man. We'll talk to you soon, Jack. Cactus Jack. Should I call him Cactus Jack? I think that kind of fits. He's kind of spiky. He's kind of thorny. Yeah. Cactus Jack. We love that man. Let's get on to some more action and say hey to David in Thornton. Hello, David.
Hello.
Welcome.
Talking about cocaine, maybe that dog commander was sniffing it, and that's why he bit so many people.
We're still speculating, aren't we, David? Apparently, yeah. There was even stories in the woke left-wing media about some good leftists were out there in the White House and having trouble with that darn dog, biting them and stuff, making them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. But I gotta say one thing about Donald Trump that I really love, and that's his music when he gets up to that podium. I love that song when he comes on.
Oh yeah, Lee Greenwood, "Proud to Be an American."
Yeah, that's it.
Yep,
I'm proud to be an American.
You know what, David?
I've
read that at, you know, if you ever go to a Trump rally, and I think I've been to five or six of them. Going back a ways there, back when, you know, he would come to Colorado. But apparently Trump himself personally chooses the playlists. And when you're standing there waiting for Trump to come on stage, or when you have the warm-up acts or the other politicians who get out there and speak in front of the assembled huge crowds at all these rallies, you got that music going on. And, man, there's some good tunes. And a bunch of those tunes I have snagged and put in Backbone playlist. He's got that good ear for music. And, you know, around here at Backbone, we know what we're talking about when we talk about a good ear for music, right? So
you got that right. You know, I don't know if you ever remember a group called the Four Freshmen.
I do remember them. I couldn't tell you a song by them, but they're like the folk era that was like Kingston Trio era and that bunch.
Yeah, the Four Freshmen, you know, of course, I'm 85 years old, so I used to love them, you know. And when I went in the Marine Corps and went into Tijuana, there was a bar over there where we used to go to, and they had a couple of Mexicans that used to perform there, and they sounded just like the Four Freshmen. They were just unbelievable.
Down in Tijuana, huh?
Uh-huh.
You know, somehow when you said that, I just mentioned the Kingston Trio. They have a great song called "The Tijuana Jail." So here we are in the Tijuana Jail. but you don't know anything about a Tijuana jail, do you, David?
No.
Okay, good.
I do remember that band, Tijuana. I don't remember what they played the trumpet, but I can't remember what the name of them was. It was the Tijuana something, you know. But
and why were you in Tijuana, David? What were you spending time there for?
No, I was in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
We used to take Liberty,
Were you based down south of San Diego on those sort of island islets out there where the Navy SEALs are these days?
No, I was in Camp Pendleton.
Pendleton, okay. Well,
yeah, and then I served some time in 29 Palms.
Would that have put you in Korea, David? Did you see any time in any foreign conflicts?
No, I got in there in 1956, which was right after the
Korean War. Okay, just missed it. Did you end up in Lebanon? Because I think in 58, the Marines were over in Lebanon for a while, right? Or Beirut. They were in Beirut, right?
Yeah, a lot of them got killed over there by that suicide bomber.
Well, that was in the 80s. That was in the 80s, not in the 50s.
That was during the Reagan administration that those guys got killed.
By the way, I just had a text to studio from an amazingly alert listener. Was it Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass?
That's it.
Oh.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
guess who's got your back? It's Backbone Country texting in, and I've never heard of them. Whoever heard of them? Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. You've heard of them.
They were great.
All right.
Were really great.
John's heard of them there.
Yeah, you're going to have to see if you can pick up a little bit of their music. They weren't around very long, but they really were great. They could really blow that trumpet.
Yeah, okay. Well, with a name like Herb, I mean, you got to be good. I mean, you got to be great. Anyway, well, David, I salute you for your service in the Marine Corps, going back and going back a ways, and salute you for being close company with us around here at Backbone. Let's be keeping in close touch as things get mighty exciting heading into November. Okay, thank you, David. And yeah, Trump says November 5th is going to be Christian Visibility Day. Does that sound like a good name for November 5th? And I do keep saying this, but man, is this ever for all the marbles. I mean, are we going to, like, be a free country? Are we going to try to take back power to the people? Or are we going to just have it be run by these seriously insane weirdos who have been running this place and all these in-your-face stuff, like what they did with Easter last week? I mean, and then Biden comes out and denies that. You know, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. But then, you know, I've actually got his proclamation right here where, you know, he did that. But he said, I didn't do it. But he did it. And when I saw that, and because I didn't do a show last week, I would just say, are they so confident of their ability to rig an election? Are they so confident of that, that they will actually on Easter change that and have all the government announcements be not about Easter, but about Transvisibility Day? And I just think that, you know, to do that on Easter is my beef with it, right? I mean, that's kind of in your face. But, I mean, and that's an insult to the entire nation, essentially. I mean, I don't know anybody who thought that that was a cool thing. And I know people from all over the spectrum, left, right, middle, crazy, normal, you know. But I have a feeling that they actually plugged it in advance and didn't actually know it was actually Easter. I think that they maybe did make a little snafu there because they're so incompetent. But they didn't own it. They didn't own it. And I don't know. Are they that confident in their rigging? Kind of a country sounding tune from Tom Petty there. I was just texting about this tune over on the Texta Studio deal, and somebody was asking, hey, what album? Because we accidentally played this one as an outro earlier in the show, whereas we were intending to have it to be an intro. And it's from an American Treasure album, this song called Keeping Me Alive. And Inside Info, that's where I snagged that tune called The Apartment Song by Tom Petty. And, the gal from Fleetwood Mac does the backup. I should remember her name. I always have a mental block on her name. What was her name?
Stevie Nicks.
That one. Stevie Nicks. Not the other one. What's the other one's name who just passed away a while
ago? McVie?
Christy McVie. John, okay. Thanks for keeping me covered there. And Fleetwood, Mick Fleetwood was the drummer dude, right? With kind of had the beard and kind of tall guy, right? If I recall. Anyway.
And you can't forget Lindsey Buckingham.
And Lindsey, who they keep kicking out of the band. Because, I don't know, he must be hard to get along with. Or maybe the other ones are, and he's the easy one to get along with. Who knows? Rock stars. At any rate, yeah, the American Treasure album. The apartment song is a good tune. I should probably bring that in again soon. I try to bring it out once a year. At any rate, Tommy Tuberville, the senator from Alabama, is out there. He did not appreciate renaming Easter or whatever they did to call it Trans Visibility Day, and he said, the Democrats are a satanic cult. That's a U.S. senator from Alabama, and he just outright calls the Democrats a satanic cult. And I was like, wow, that's hitting pretty hard. By the way, how come nobody mentions Tommy Tuberville as potential VP for Trump, huh? You think? That dude is, he seems like he's a pretty independent-minded kind of guy. At any rate, I have been mentioning this Trump amazing record-shattering fundraiser, and I just think we need to just feel this vibe and feel it and groove on it, and we described it earlier as rockin' with dockin'. The New York Post headline is, Trump rakes in record-setting $50.5 million at exclusive Florida campaign fundraiser, shattering Biden's NYC hall. And just so you get some of the data here, former President Trump's campaign raked in $50.5 million at an exclusive fundraiser dinner with billionaires in Florida on Saturday, which would be yesterday, because today is Sunday. The hall more than doubles the record $25 million raised at President Biden's star-studded event at Radio City Music Hall last month, and it fattens the GOP's coffers just months away from the November election. Trump said, quote, biggest night in fundraising of all time on Truth Social. Good for Trump. And he added in his post, quote, we'll double up the Biden number of last week at Radio City. People are desperate for change. They want to make America great again. Oh, yes, we do, folks. Yes, we do. And I must just point out again that when Biden, Clinton, and Obama were out there hauling in that measly $25 million the week before, at the very time that was going down, when they're hauling in those millions from the big dim donors, the globalists, the satanic cult people, as Tuberville calls them. I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, maybe Tuberville has a point, yeah? You think Tuberville's onto something? Some of the things that these people are doing on top, you just kind of wonder if they are a satanic cult. Of course, again, tongue-in-cheek a little bit here, but I mean, these are weird people running the show. Really weird. Really strange. Really in your face. They really hate you, too. They hate this country. They hate the heartland. They wouldn't even let Rhino Ronna McDaniel on NBC. Isn't that amazing? Ronna McDaniel gets hired over to NBC, where she would go out there and do all of her usual Rhino stuff and stab Trump in the back, would be my expectation, to earn her big salary. But golly, all the folks over at NBC had a terrible reaction to Ronna showing up over there at NBC, and they were just whining and bellyaching and moaning and screaming, and they got rid of her. So they couldn't even have a Rhino like Ronna Romney McDaniel show up over at NBC. I mean, these are cult-like behaviors. I'm telling you that if you're on NBC, which is a major fake news media platform, as we know, fakety fake, 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 And they can't even have one rhino in there talking their rhino stuff. I mean, that is how, I mean, they are a cult. I mean, they are really getting insulated. And they are really touchy. Talk about touchy. You know, I mean, it has to be just full on cult-like, far left, psycho, nihilist, extinctionist, leftist mindset people around there all the time. They can't even let a rhino in there. Anyway, I mean, I do think that it's cult-like behaviors you're seeing on the left, like extreme fear of an outsider, extreme agitation to have any contact with an outsider, even if that outsider is a Romney who essentially agrees with all the leftist stuff. And again, over the RNC, what a deal, by the way, to get Rana out, and they fired a bunch of those old rhino staffers around the RNC. Randy Corcoran, hat tip, brother. I know you had a hand in that, one way or another. And the money is flowing into the RNC now. And they got a new RNC person on Twitter who does the tweets. And now, it used to be the RNC tweets were so bland and anodyne and just so damn boring and unimpressive and so, so like hewing to the middle and so moderate and kind of like giving the benefit of the doubt to all the leftist stuff. But now, I mean, they're getting some real tweets coming out of the RNC. I dig it, man. I like this new RNC, and the money is coming in. At any rate, I was going to point that out, that, you know, and this is back to the New York Post. They had a cover when Biden, Obama, and Clinton were raking in that $25 million. The big cover that day, and this was Friday, March 20, I can't quite read it. The print is so small, and it's smudged. Either the 29th or the 23rd. I think it's the 29th. Anyway, Trump attends wake for killed hero NYPD cop as three Dem presidents shut down city for glitzy $25 million fundraiser. So Trump is with a fallen NYPD officer, the Diller family, who did not want Governor Hochul, one of the Democrat cult members from New York City, did not want her anywhere near that funeral service. And Hochul tried to get in. They said, don't try to come, but she tried to come anyway, and they wouldn't let her in because they don't like it that the wide open borders the Democrats want helped get Officer Diller killed, a New York Police Department hero. Trump was there for that family. Make a point of it. Make a note of it. We'll be right back.